Early on, he was one of the greatest heroes of the American Revolution. He was a general in the Battle of Saratoga in 1777. He led his soldiers in a stunning victory over the British. And to those who had the honor of fighting alongside him, courage and bravery were his middle name. George Washington saw that in him and went so far as to call him the bravest of the brave. Now, there's some title coming from George Washington. Funny what a difference a year can make in us, in our attitudes, in our beliefs, in our actions, and in how other people perceive us. By 1780, this highly acclaimed general became disillusioned with the American cause. So disillusioned, in fact, that he arranged to sell secret military plans to the enemy, the British, that is, for £20,000. And with that, he defected to the other side. He fled the United States and moved to England and began serving for the British cause. He betrayed the country he had previously defended and went down in history as one of our nation's most notorious traitors. Maybe you've heard of him. Benedict Arnold, right? We all know Benedict Arnold. He betrayed his country for £20,000. To Americans, Benedict Arnold's name is associated with shame, with dishonor, with betrayal, right? Sometimes we refer to a person as a Benedict Arnold, at least here in the United States. I'm not exactly sure what the British take on him would be, probably not nearly as negative. But there's also another name that's gone down in history as probably the world's greatest traitor. He betrayed his beloved teacher for the price of a mere 30 pieces of silver, which is like some pocket change. He betrayed all that he professed as good and faithful. He betrayed his God, his name even more infamous than good old Arnold. And this guy, Judas Iscariot, right? We may still name children Benedict. It's not that common, but it's not a curse to bear the first name of Benedict. But has anyone ever named their child Judas? I don't even want to know. Today we look at Judas' betrayal, but we do more than that because we can't point the finger at the infamous Judas Iscariot without remembering that we're pointing three fingers back at ourselves. Because in the big picture, we're no better than good old Judas. Nevertheless, thank God that in Jesus Christ, we can point the finger at ourselves, remembering God's mercy. Now, our text from Matthew 26 sets the stage for us. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of the Passover. He's been praying to God for strength as he prepares to drink the cup that his Father has prepared for him. Verse 47 says that Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Don't miss what this verse says about Judas. He was one of the 12. He was one of the 12 disciples whom Jesus had hand-picked to be his companion. Judas had followed Jesus, had listened to his words, had witnessed his miracles. He was a trusted confidant in the company of Jesus. Yet turn he did, just like Benedict. Judas turned against Christ. He collaborated with Jesus' enemies, those who wished to discredit and destroy him. They needed an informant, an insider, who would arrange for them to arrest Jesus. And the price of the deed, 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Judas would sell his master as a slave. On that dark Thursday night, Judas led a crowd carrying weapons as they came to arrest Jesus. But even more shameful than that, Judas had provided a truly disgraceful signal to identify the target for his arrest. It would be a kiss. Matthew continues his report of what happened. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. I don't even think Benedict Arnold was that much of a dirtbag in his betrayal. Judas used a symbol of love, a friendship, of peace to betray Jesus. Judas used a kiss to betray his Lord. And he did it for all to see in front of the whole crowd. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And how painful it must have been for Jesus to receive that kiss. How shameful for Judas to sell out his Lord, his friend, his teacher, with a kiss. Benedict Arnold's price for betrayal was 20,000 British pounds. Judas, 30 coins. But the question for us is, what is our price to betray the Lord? Maybe your price, a betrayal, is the price of greed. Your love of money and material wealth are greater than your love for God. Your time and energy are consumed more with making money than with loving God with all your heart and soul and strength. Or maybe your price of betrayal is the price of ambition, to climb to the top of your career or whatever it is that you're into, and that trumps serving God by serving others. You press towards your own will over and against the will of God. Or perhaps your price of betrayal is acceptance by the world. You're motivated to please people more than you are to please God. You want to impress the powerful and the popular at the expense of your confession of Christ. You don't want to be ridiculed as a Christian, so you deny Christ. Or maybe your price of betrayal is one of retaliation. You refuse to swallow your pride in order to forgive someone who's wronged you, and instead you seek after revenge, and you retaliate to hurt back. You betray the Lord who calls you to forgive and not to judge. See, Judas isn't the only one who's betrayed our Lord. We, who like Judas, call ourselves disciples of Jesus, do the same betrayal. Every time we live in ways that are contrary to the Word of God and embrace behavior that is contrary to the will of God, we betray Christ. We who bear the name of Christ bring shame to that name. We are traitors. Michael Card has written a song with lyrics that hit way too close to home. The song is called Traitor's Look. And he says, or writes, Judas, don't you come too close. I fear that I might see that traitorous look upon your face, might look too much like me. Because just like you, I've sold the Lord, and often for much less. And like a wretched traitor, I've betrayed him with a kiss. Now, the gospel is clear, all four of them, that Jesus knew beforehand that Judas would betray him. In fact, Jesus announced that awareness of his betrayal hours before it happened at the Last Supper. And yet, even at the Last Supper, Jesus extends the gesture of friendship and honor to Judas, both in where he seated him and in sharing bread with him. And even after being kissed in the garden, after receiving that betrayal, Jesus still addressed Judas as friend. Look in Matthew's gospel. Jesus' mercy was always available to Judas, even while Judas carried out what he did. The price that Judas paid to betray Jesus was 30 pieces of silver, and at that time, that was the price of a slave. In one sense, that price was appropriate because Jesus willingly gave himself up as a servant, a slave. He was prophesied by Isaiah to be the servant of the Lord, the suffering servant. Jesus himself claimed that his purpose was to be a servant when he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And the Apostle Paul writes that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a slave. Jesus willingly let himself be sold as a slave for a slave's price to purchase us from the slavery of sin. He was betrayed by sinful men to show that God will never desert or betray us sinners. The price of his betrayal, 30 coins, but the price of our salvation, the blood of Christ. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life as a ransom for us, even us traitors, even us betrayers. The good people of Nineveh, if you remember the passage from Jonah, they may not have been so good, but they knew enough to repent and throw themselves on God's mercy. Not only did they have nothing to lose, they had certainly heard of the God of Israel, and they had heard about his legendary mercy. Good Lord, if it wasn't for God's infinite mercy, Israel would have never survived, given their tendencies to rebellion and tyranny. Forget Benedict Arnold. And yet God, in his mercy, forgave them over and over again. Yes, the good people of Nineveh knew that repentance and mourning were in order, and they took their chances on the mercy of the God of Israel. So think about the ways you've betrayed Christ. But do it in view of God's mercy. Because Jesus was betrayed even to death in order to ransom us from death. You and me, traitors. Christ offers the bread at the table to us as a sign of love, as an invitation to forgiveness to you and me, traitors. Christ offers his blood shed on the cross to you and me, traitors. Christ offers himself to death in order to purchase us from slavery. So in this season of Lent, we turn to Christ with sorrow, and we remember the ways that we have betrayed our Lord, yet we keep the cross in sight. We repent in view of God's mercy, and because of the sacrifice of the servant on the cross, we do indeed receive that mercy, even though we are traitors. Amen.